Good morning, family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. That is Alamo, the place to be on Sunday mornings. For those who have found us at FM 96.9 on your radio in San Antonio, we are located at 4071 North Foster Road. For anyone who is looking for a new church home or just one to visit, come and see us. Everyone is welcome. The scripture selected for this morning's invocation is taken from Psalm 118 as printed in the New King James Version of our Bible. Listen for God's word in this reading. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Gene.
Oh, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for this morning. Lord, we just want you to know that Easter to us is more than just candy and bunnies. It's about our risen Savior. And we just want to say this morning, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. For without him, we would have no hope. And that hope that we have is that we one day will be with him. We ask that you would bless each one in our service today in a very, very special way. Some have come seeking, Lord, for different things. You know what brought them here. We ask, Lord, that today would be a day that they will never forget, that they will not just hear about the resurrection, but they will experience the resurrection. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. I'm not going to have you move around this morning. I want you to just look around, and I want you to just wave at each other. Amen? Amen. Amen. I want you to just wave at each other. Amen. Amen. And you know what? After you wave at each other, I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up with me, all right? Today is a very, very, very special day. Amen? It is a very special day that we celebrate our Lord's resurrection. So, when I say he is risen, you say, he is risen indeed. Amen? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Let us pray. Oh, Lord, we pray that you are with us on this day of all days. Let us understand the resurrection in the way you would have us understand. Let us live into the resurrection.
Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adorn his sacred name. Come, Christian, follow this triumphant sign, the host of God in unity combined.
Seated. Time now for our offering at this time, and I want to just to encourage you with this from God's word in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verses 6 through 8. This is what the Lord says. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Okay, thank you.
temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory.
Scripture this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Listen for God's word. On the very first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men, clothed that gleamed like lightning, stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb, and bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away wondering to himself what had happened." This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. are.
Yeah. Amen. Woo. Good. Amen.
Let us prepare for the message that the Holy Spirit is giving to us. Take a moment. Catch your breath and join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come. We come thirsting for your word. We come seeking you. As the lemon came so many years ago, we come looking for you. But we know that we are not looking for a crucified Savior. We're looking for the resurrected Savior. We ask, Lord, that as we go through this time, you give Pastor Ted your strength, your spirit. Give him courage to put aside all that is human and take on all that is your spirit. And open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit so that we may with joy hear the message that you would have for each of us. And let us not forget that message, but let us take it with us into the world and bring others to the realization that you are there and that there is a resurrection. These things we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Today. So I want everyone to take one. I thought we might have a lot of kids, you know. I didn't know, so I did it. Let's wait to eat it until everybody gets one. Let's let the suspense even longer. Before we do that, does anybody know in the eggs last week that I gave y'all? Did y'all do them? So what was the surprise? Was there a surprise? What was the surprise? Egg number 12, there was nothing inside it. But what was egg number 12? What was egg number 12? It was gold, right? It was a golden special egg. Great job. I'm glad. Did y'all enjoy to do those with your family? I'm glad. Okay. Well, these were these y'all's? Were there, okay. They're, these are y'all's. But y'all can take them back and keep them for next year or whatever y'all would like to do. Okay? So here you go. Good job, guys. All right. So these are surprise cookies I got you. We'll move on with this. So let's take a bite of the surprise cookie and see what why it's called a surprise cookie. Do you see anything in there? Nope, keep biting. Look inside of mine. There's something in there, like a jelly bean. So that's a surprise cookie I made for y'all. And maybe I shouldn't eat once now I got all of my teeth. I can't really talk. But. All right. So just as Jesus was in the tomb and gone when Mary and Mary, there was two Marys, went to go look for him. He was gone. It's like a surprise cookie. There was nothing in the tomb. There was something missing, right? All right. So the title of today's Bible lesson is an Easter surprise. But the Easter surprise in our lesson isn't about finding something that wasn't expected. It's not about finding what... It is about finding... Wait, hold on. It's not about finding what isn't expected. Listen to what happened. All right, so they went to the tomb and they didn't find... And then there was two people that appeared, right? And the ladies were scared. But they had already been told... Mary Magdalene had already been told that was going to happen, and then it happened, right? All right. So, let's say a prayer. Dear God, we thank you for your generous celebration of resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Not is by the tomb was empty. He is risen, just as you said. In his name we pray. Amen.
Good morning again, dear ones. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It's so glad to be here. I'm so happy to be here this morning. Before I start, I want to tell you a little story about Ted Robinson. What Easter used to mean to me. When I was just a young lad, about 9 or 10 years old, maybe a little younger, I guess. Our mother, we called her Big Mama, had two sisters. She dresses up. You know, back in those days, we had clothes for school, and then we had clothes for church. And I always had this real nice white coat. I'd get my white coat on, and I'd get my black pants and my shoes and my little bow tie, and away we go to Mount Moriah Baptist Church. We weren't going there to look for Jesus. We were going there to look for eggs, because we knew that the deacons had planted eggs all around that church. And see, in those days, you know, eggs were pretty cheap. So, and they used the real eggs. And the surprise for us was to get the candy eggs. But we go out and we find those eggs and my little coat and the girls would be in their best wear and their best clothes. And that was a perfect time for us to do our little, what little courting we were able to do. That's when we did our little courting. That's what Easter meant to me then. But after the Lord got a hold of me, after he got a hold of me, I remember some times when I was a young soldier in Vietnam and out in the jungle in the bush and just scared to death, didn't know what to do. I knew then that the Lord was with me. Because he brought me out of many things. There were many times when I didn't feel like I was going to make it. But I thank God for this day that he blessed me to get this far. I tell you that so you can know this. Easter means a whole lot more to me now than it did then. It means more than bunnies and rabbits and everything. All those things are good. Eating with your family, those are great. But Easter is about resurrection of our Lord. Amen? It's about the hope that he gives us. Because without that resurrection, we would have no hope. Easter is about victory. Victory over death. The death, the victory that only comes from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want you to think on that for a minute. And that's my little story about Easter. Now, I'm sure each one of us, we all have our own story. You know, so, folks, he's not on the cross anymore. He is risen. Amen? So we celebrate today in the belief that in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the transforming power that comes from him being alive and at work in our lives. What looked like defeat on Friday turned into victory as Jesus overcame sin and death to rise from the grave on Sunday. Easter is a story of victory. So you know, when we learn to Easter, that should be experienced. It's very hard to explain Easter, but you have to experience. You see, Easter is a time of year when we remember the biggest, most pivotal moment that changed the world early in the morning, 3 days after Jesus' crucifixion. Two women went to the tomb to deliver spices to the body of Jesus. And when they arrived, they experienced something that would have been very difficult to put in words. And if we look at Luke 24:1-8, we can see that the tomb of Jesus had been sealed by a great stone rolled across the entrance. And to their surprise, when they got there, the stone was rolled away. Who in the world could roll a stone away that big? And even more, inside the tomb, it was empty. His body was nowhere to be seen. And suddenly, two angels of the Lord appeared before them. And the women were terrified. I would have been terrified too. They hid their faces, but the angel told them that Jesus was no longer dead. He was alive, and he would not be found in the grave. So the women, they ran off and they went to go find their disciples to deliver the good news that he had risen from the dead. But how do you tell somebody a story like this? How do you possibly get others even to imagine, let alone believe this? That stone rolled away, the angels in bright and empty tomb where the crucified Savior once was. Well, that's impossible. It says it'd be very hard to explain. And sometimes, and even today, I feel like this is true of Easter. Easter every year. How can we possibly explain from the pulpit or to our friends such a wonderful, powerful, and life-changing event like the resurrection? You see, folks, it's better experienced than explained. We must all experience the blessed power of the resurrection. So so this is what happened after the women, they leave the tomb, when they tell the story of what they had seen, the disciples can't believe it. And it says that the Bible says that in Luke 24:9-12, the Bible says that the words that the women were speaking seemed like nonsense. Well, what are y'all talking about? I'm not believing this. How can this happen? But there was one. Peter jumped up, ran to the tomb. He says, I'm going to see for myself. I got to see this. And when he got in there, he went inside and he saw that the linen cloth had all been moved aside and once covered Jesus' body. And Peter's life would never be the same from that moment on. The miracle of Easter changed everything for him. Dear one, I would submit to you this morning, if you ever, ever, ever had an encounter with the Lord, your life will never be the same. It will never be the same. You see, and the reason why it's so important, not just to hear this story or to engage in it with your mind, but we've got to experience it fully, because Easter brings into focus the incredible, awesome love of an almighty God. I've heard people say that if Christmas is the promise, then Easter surely is the proof. And you say, well, the proof of what? that we are indeed loved by God, and that he has gone to just extraordinary lengths to forgive us of sin and to give us a new life. The Apostle Paul, one of the great missionaries for our Lord, he writes in a prayer to the early church in Ephesus with this very things in mind. He tells folks that it's not enough for the people in the church of Ephesus to be aware of what the death of resurrection means for them. He wants them to know how the width, the length, and the depth of our love of Christ is. I want you to know just how much this morning, how much the Lord truly loves you. I want you to know this morning that no matter what situation you're in now, he, Jesus, can make it better. Amen? I want you to leave here knowing that he loves you very, very, very much. This will be a great encouragement for all of us. You see, the nail-scarred hands that took up our sins, and we recall the rolled-away stone and the empty tomb that offers us power over sin and death. We would be able to sense how amazing Christ's love is for us. You see, folks, we are the reason why he endured all that he endured. Eternal salvation and redemption is a joy that was set before us that caused him to offer his life willingly. And as Hebrews 12:2 tells us, that God's love, it changed us. It's God's love that changes us. The truest thing about you and I is that we are loved by God. And the most awesome thing is, he loves you just the way you are. Now listen to me when I say this now. And he loves you way too much to leave you that way. Amen? You see, he knows all your shortcomings. He knows your little problems. He knows your little moods and all your little ways that you hide from your family and others. He knows about all your mistakes. He knows about your sins. He knows about all those little secret things that we try to hide in our little secret place in our hearts. We think that we can hide it from the Lord. But hear me this morning. He knows all about it. And this is the very reason for Easter. He was motivated by love for his creation, for us. God sent Jesus to die for you and me. He's alive. The tomb is empty. And there is hope available to those who place their faith and trust in him. Now there's a reason that we gather together today for worship. Not just us, but other believers as well. You see, it's meant to be a time to remember that Easter was not just one single moment in history long ago, but it is a daily reality for every Christian. We are meant to be Easter people. Easter people, you know, who live and relate to others out of the hope, love, and joy that is offered to us through the resurrection. We are meant to be a people who tell this incredible story to others, you know, and we do this by the way we live our lives. The Apostle Paul writes again in the book of Romans 1:16. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is a power of God to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and then to the Greek or the Gentile. You see, the Lord loves you so much. And this blessed gospel that we preach, that we present to you, it has awesome power to change lives. You see, when you get around other people, when you go to HEB or Walmart or wherever you go, you may not have to say a word, but people can tell that you belong to the Lord by the way you act and the things you do. And we should never be ashamed of the gospel, because that's where the power is. Folks, in this world today, we can't afford to be timid or embarrassed. We've got to let other folks know by word or deed about what Jesus has done for us. And for them, it's become a matter
of life and death. It's a matter of heaven and hell. It's a matter of hope and despair. So, ask yourself this morning, do people leave my presence with a greater sense that Jesus is alive today? Do people experience the love of Jesus when they spend time with me or with you? You may be the only Jesus someone ever encounters and the only Bible someone ever reads. This weary world we live in needs those who have been transformed by the love of God, and we need to share it liberally in word and deed. So, a story. According to the book Life of Francis Assisi, Francis once invited a young monk to join him on a trip to town to preach. The young monk was honored to be given the invitation, and he readily accepted it. And all day long, him and Francis, they walked through the streets, the byways, the alleys, and even into the suburbs. They rubbed shoulders with hundreds of people, and at day's end, the two headed back home. Not even once had Francis addressed the crowd. He didn't talk to anyone about the gospel. The young monk was greatly disappointed, and he said, "I thought we were going to go into town to preach." And Francis responded, "My son, we have preached. We were preaching while we were walking. We were seen by many, and our behavior was closely watched. And it is of no use to walk anywhere to preach unless we preach everywhere we walk." Now, this story may remind us today that we need to be more intentional about living for Jesus and sharing him with others. Or maybe you know you need an Easter experience that will change your life. The truth is, dear one, this resurrection life is better experienced than explained. And perhaps that's why the disciples, they had to go see for themselves that Jesus wasn't there. You see, they needed to see the tomb with their own eyes. And this Easter, you can respond to the empty tomb if you haven't already by placing your faith in the living Christ and receiving the power of the resurrection. All it takes is a simple prayer of confession and repentance from the heart. The Bible tells us that we will confess our sins, repent, and ask the risen Jesus into our life. So, we celebrate the hope that we have in Jesus, the power of the resurrection, and the reality of the empty tomb. Let this hope renew your mind, change your heart, and transform your life. It will be the greatest decision you can ever make. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We give thanks to you, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, for your blessed Son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that he died and he rose again on the cross. We thank you, Lord, that he enables us and gives us the ability and the privilege to come and worship and to believe in him. Help us today, Lord, to remember what Easter is really all about. Help us never to forget what you've done for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we prepare for the invitation this morning,
you know, going
for our hymn of invitation, just a closer walk with thee.
From here today, let us remember those less fortunate than ourselves and continue to pray for those who are homebound or ailing in any way. Be friendly and be safe, and join us again here next Sunday to receive the message that our pastor will bring us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Would you stand for our closing hymn, Because He Lives?
God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. He came to but greater still, the calm assurance this child can face on certain days, because it is, because it is, I can face tomorrow, because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know. And then one day, I'll cross a river, I'll find life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he reigns. Because it is, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone, because I